Well, you've just come back from 2 weeks at the Mars Desert Research Station in Utah. Can you tell us a little bit about, well, what was the experience like? Was it more challenging than you expected?
You know, I had no clue about what it would be like. I knew it'd be locked away. Sounds very familiar. Except I knew exactly how long for. 2 weeks. And it was a simulated Mars experience. So we were only allowed outside the habitat if we were wearing a spacesuit, and we could only go out for a couple of hours every few days. And everything inside the habitat was, everything was quite sparse, quite spartan, and our resources were extremely limited, water, food, energy, and even our internet was almost non-existent. So we had to really pretend as if we were on Mars, except, of course, we had gravity.
Are you feeling quite prepared for a mission to the Red Planet yet?
I think there's quite a bit of training to go there. But I do have a totally different experience now of what it would be like to be locked away with people you don't know very well for such a confined amount of space in such a short time.
Well, as you say, we are all getting a little bit of a taste of what it might be like to live on another planet at the moment.
Yeah.
But in terms of the research you were undertaking while you were at this research station, can you tell us what you uncovered?
Yes, indeed. So the Mars Desert Research Station does research projects under the auspice of the Mars Society globally. And so groups of researchers like myself get together for a couple of weeks and do various research projects and help each other out, which is great fun. Mine was focused on food waste. Now, it's not something you commonly think about when it comes to Mars or going to space, but it will be when we go to live there. We'll have to deal with our waste somehow, and how does it fit into the food system? So I did a first of its kind sort of pilot test, I guess you could say, on what waste might look like from the sort of food we would be starting life on Mars with.
So what kind of things are you actually looking at? I mean, are we sort of, you know, if we were talking about this theoretical mission to Mars, would we be taking it all with us, or would we be growing the stuff there? What kind of things are we actually looking at?
It'd be a bit of both, Sean. So to start off with, when we first arrive on Mars, for those who would be living there long term, the concept is to grow all of your own food to survive. But of course, as many of us probably know now, in our isolation situation, we might be starting a home veggie garden or something like that. New lettuce does not appear overnight. So we'll definitely be surviving on freeze-dried food and other non-perishables like that for many, many months prior to eating fresh vegetables. So we'd have a real mix in our food system as it transitions from one to the other. And that hasn't been really considered very much when it comes to the nutrient inputs into a food productive system. If our waste is all stuff that's been non-perishable, what does it look like? How salty is the soil going to be? Things like that.
Yes, it's not quite as easy as Farmville and the like has led us to believe. In terms of, like, as you say, we're dealing with this pandemic right now. We are thinking perhaps a little bit more carefully about our food stores and what we're buying, what goes to waste. Is there a relationship we see between food waste and food scarcity?
Oh, most definitely, particularly, as you say, with the current pandemic situation, scarcity really does affect our behaviour around food. There's a couple of things that can occur. One of them is we have probably seen that hoarding of food when people have been buying and storing a whole lot of food they wouldn't normally buy in bulk, so a lot of non-perishables such as flour, rice, pasta and so forth. And this can end up being thrown in the bin. In fact, other researchers have shown that households who buy products that they never will likely use will throw about nearly 60% of it away, which is pretty terrible. However, we also see in the current situation that in economic downturns, which creates a different sort of scarcity than what we see with our perceived scarcity with the COVID situation, households often reduce their waste. They learn how to make the food stretch a bit further and what to do with the leftovers and those strange ingredients that some MasterChef used once that I tried to have a go at. We become much more conscious cooks and eaters, I think, in those sorts of situations.
Your research has highlighted that non-perishable foods can create less waste in constrained circumstances, and that waste is more likely when preparing meals that change form when cooking. We were to change our eating habits to sort of a accommodate some of these ideas. Just how do you think we would apply that to not travelling interplanetary distances, but to the average Australian and what they're eating?
Well, it's some of the stuff is quite simple. It's really a case of what do I want to do with this food and how much of it do I really need? And so some of the aspects of, as you say, using those non-perishables and when they become a bit more, say, sticky, so we're making maybe a rice dish or something which could be a thick soup or something like that, it tends to stick to the pot a lot. And so that ends up creating a lot of waste because we don't scrape those bits off very often. Although I must admit, I love plate scrapings. They're delicious. Anyway, but we do find as well that people that cook meals of that sort of nature, that bulk cook a pasta or a rice or whatever, in our households in Australia, we tend to cook about, considerably more than we need. About 44% of the time, we'll cook a bit more just in case. So of these sorts of dishes. So if we thought a bit more about how much we need to cook and only cooked what we need by the portion size, we might reduce a bit of that waste, even of these non-perishables.
And are there any other factors that you've sort of uncovered influencing how food waste is generated?
One of them was, it was surprising, but not really in other ways. When we see a change in availability of food, our behaviour to that changes as well. So, for example, during our 2 weeks in the Mars isolation habitat, we had an emergency supply of some food because we were undersupplied of food to start with just for various logistic reasons.
Mm.
So we really had to make it last in the first week. But then we had excess stock or surplus stock in the second week, and people got creative and they weren't afraid to play, but that ended up creating some extra waste. And so I'm suspecting when we see ourselves move out of this lockdown situation in COVID here, when we move to having more abundance or perceived abundance of food again, I think we'll see maybe a little bit more extravagance in what we do without as much concern about the waste anymore.
Oh, it's fascinating stuff. Diane, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us this morning.
You're welcome, Sean. Thanks for having me on.